Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Our top insider, the best in the business, the Hall of Famer, brought to you by your local Nissan dealers, here with us to put a bow on week one and the Steelers' comeback win in Buffalo. John, what's the buzz around the Steelers? I know you had them as a fringe playoff team before week one. Now they go in and get one of the biggest wins of week one. So how is John Clayton now looking at these Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, I mean, are you ready still to get rid of Ben Roethlisberger?
Malzi, want to answer that for John?
First half, Ben, I would throw him in the trash.
I'm getting rid of Ben.
First half, Ben, I would have thrown in the trash, but I'll give him credit, and I already have today. He made big throws down the stretch that helped them ice this game, but he wasn't the story. Their defense was.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the thing, but the thing is, he was able to come back and get the comeback victory, and I thought that was important. And again, I think you can see that right now, you'd have to think there's got to be a jump to put them at least number two in the division because, I mean, look what's going on in Baltimore. Baltimore is down three running backs for the season. They don't have Nick Boyle at tight end. Their first-round pick, John Bateman, he's on injured reserve. They lose their best cornerback, Marcus Peters, for the season. I mean, you're looking overall, you have to think, even though they did well playing the Raiders, they still lost, and they're going to have to rely totally on Lamar Jackson. I just think if that's going to be the case, Jackson's no way going to be able to run the ball 12, 13, 14 times like he did in the last 17 weeks because, again, you've got to have a running game. And right now, they don't have it. I mean, they were able to get some running. But, again, when you're down to your four-string running back, and I know they brought in Latavius Murray, I just think that they're in big trouble.
John, I felt like I had asked you the first question there because we had traded some back and forth on Ben. Were you surprised at all, not so much by the Steelers' front seven dictating terms to Buffalo, but by the way their secondary played? Because that was a huge source of concern here, was how they were going to fill in things behind Joe Hayden at corner, and yet it seemed like they had no issues with Cam Sutton, with Trey Norwood, a seventh-round pick this year. So what was your impression of the way they handled that Bills passing game?
No, I thought they were solid because, again, one thing that helps is you get that passing, you get the pass rush going. And so I thought that helped. I mean, you know, Hayden is solid at the cornerback position. I think Sutton is okay. I mean, certainly depth is going to be an issue. There's no question about that. But overall, I think that they were able to do it. And, of course, understand how good the Buffalo offense is, particularly, you know, with Stephon Diggs and, you know, their receiving group and Cole Beasley and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, they have a weakness at tight end, but no, I thought that the corners held up well, and I'm not surprised. I mean, I thought that they were good enough, though not great.
John, there's a lot of mixed feelings here in Pittsburgh about the offensive line of the Steelers. In your opinion, what grade do you give them after the game against Buffalo?
I give them a B minus or a B because I think that they did well enough. I mean, again, this is a good defensive line that the Bills have and a good front seven. And so I thought that they held up pretty well. And, you know, the one thing I think that, we all tend to forget is how poorly that line played. I mean, all you have to do is look at Alejandro Villanueva in the game in week one.
John, how about that? I mean, we do, and we have to do it. It's hard because of the hatred towards the Ravens in Pittsburgh, but there's a grudging respect at the way they do things. I am shocked that they thought that guy could move from left tackle to right tackle and run block for them. I'm shocked by that. The Ravens are supposed to be a smart organization, John. I could have told them Villanueva was done.
Oh, yeah, and then on top of it, it's like they lose their left guard, Phillips. I mean, he's now out for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I think that they're in big trouble, and Villanueva did not look good whatsoever. And you saw how bad he was run blocking last year. So I think that puts them in a position right now where, you know, their offense is a mess.
John, how about the T.J. Watt deal? There was a Schefter story that Watt pulled a Kool-Aid man and burst into Art Rooney's office and said, let's get the deal done. Screw my agent. You know, I want to take the deal. $80 million guaranteed, $28 million a year. From the people John Clayton has talked to, give us the skinny. What are the reviews on the Watt deal with the Steelers?
He should have run in there and took it because, again, the Steelers made that great exception that they were going to give him guarantees in years two and year three, something that they don't do. And to go $80 million on the guarantee and it being a true guarantee, that to me surprises because, again, the way these deals work is that usually you get two times the average. So it should have been 56 and change as opposed to, you know, 80 million. So it's like, yeah, I mean, if he didn't run in there and demand to take it, I mean, he was making a mistake. So I don't know what the agents were thinking. I mean, they're going to be overly greedy or whatever. But I thought they did a great job of being able to at least adjust, change a little bit of their format, and give them what it took to get this deal done.
What do you think, if anything, John, it means for potentially a Minkah Fitzpatrick deal after next season, or after this coming season, I should say?
Clearly, it means that it's going to be, you know, more expensive, and they're probably going to have to give the extra guarantee, maybe not 3 years, but they're going to have to guarantee probably into the second year. But, I mean, you figure that Fitzpatrick's going to get in excess of $15 million. I think that's pretty evident. I don't think he's going to get the 17.5 of Jamal Adams, but he's really in a good position to get paid and get paid well.
John, watching the game Monday night, the Raiders actually reminded me of the Steelers. They showed resiliency. They showed some leadership. They came back and they got the job done at the end of the day. Do you believe that John Gruden is worth $10 million a year? And do you believe that Derek Carr can come into Pittsburgh this week and take care of business?
Gruden's not worth $10 million a year. I mean, remember, he's made $10 million a year for the last 3 years, and you know he's not had a winning season. And you know he has such a voice in personnel, but there still doesn't seem to be a plan. And that I think, is a concern. But I think it could be problematic for Derek Carr to be able to come into Pittsburgh and win this game. Sure, he's a good enough quarterback to be able to do it. I don't know if they're good enough on defense to be able to do it. So that's where Ben, Najee Harris, and the running game need to take control.
We're talking to John Clayton here on 93.7 The Fan. John, how did the Steelers get Melvin Ingram for only $4 million?
Because, again, guys in their 30s this year with the 182.5 cap just weren't able to get much. I mean, the $4 million, as it turns out, is a little bit more than people were getting at that time. And so it's like, but again, what a great acquisition. But again, players in their 30s were coming in cheaper because they're in their 30s.
John, how are the Steelers going to stop Darren Waller? I know that the Raiders, you know, maybe have problems on defense or won't have the horses on defense to keep up. But that guy, I don't know. Do you put him after anybody other than Kittle and Kelsey at that position in the NFL?
I mean, Travis Kelsey you're talking about. But, I mean, you know, I still think that George Kittle's better. But he's certainly one of the top three or four tight ends in the league. And my guess is they're probably going to have to do the cover two that they did in the game on Sunday to try to hold that and have Fitzpatrick do a lot more things. One thing that was great about Fitzpatrick is that, you know, he was, you know, mobile and doing some of the stuff that, I mean, not to the degree that you saw, you know, some of the pass safeties and all that stuff, particularly Troy Polamalu, but I thought they're real creative in how they used him, and they're going to need to maybe, I don't know if they have to put a corner on him or whatever, but he is tough to contain.
John, I'm a special guest on the show today, so I probably won't talk to you for the rest of the season. So from knowing what you know now about the AFC North, where do you see the Steelers finishing at the end of the year?
Right now I'd say number two because Cleveland I still think is right now the best team in the division. And Baltimore, I think with all the problems that they have on offense, are going to drop off. They still can make the playoffs. But I'd say right now they're number two But you know, if they can get off to a good start, maybe they can challenge Cleveland. And of course, if they do well against Cleveland, then they can go back and be number one.
What is John Clayton's theory on what happened to Aaron Rodgers this weekend?
I just think there's internal problems. And I think it carries through the team. You know, because, again, they just seem disinterested. I mean, the fact that they lose by 35 points, that's incredible. You know, I don't know how to phrase this accurately on the air, but, you know, he took the credit on the two interceptions to, you know, kind of getting a shot in the gender areas. So it's like...
the private parts, John?
He got hit in the nuts and bolts.
The double nut shot, he called it.
Mm. Okay.
But again, it's like...
So that's why he threw interceptions? Because he got hit in the private parts?
That's what he said. I don't know if we believe him, but that's what he credits the two interceptions for. But they look awful. I mean, you know, they didn't play anybody in the preseason. They look awful in this opener. They'll be obviously very good this week because they play Detroit, and Detroit's terrible. But, no, I think right now that's a troubled team.
Hey, John, I want to go back to the AFC North into Cleveland because, I mean, I thought that was the best roster on paper in the division heading into the season. I love their roster. I thought Mayfield looked pretty good for three quarters there, but you know, you said you still look at them as the best team. When he's playing really good opposition, I have to see him kind of put the stake through the heart. He had every chance to do it against Kansas City, and I wonder if you think that might start getting to them mentally at some point if he doesn't start finishing games against these higher quality opponents.
No, but Kansas City's a better team. They got a better quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes was able to do a lot of great things at the end of the game against that defense, I think, is pretty good. But overall, I thought that this is a team right now that you know, looks like it's going to be a real good one.
All right, John, let's just get to the point. Are we going to see the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back in the Super Bowl again?
Right now, yeah. I'd say so. Mm. I mean, because, again, all signs point to that. We'll see how injuries play and how those different things go. But I'd say right now, though, the two favorites.
John, I got to go back to the Aaron Rodgers thing. Do you think he'll be there for the entire season?
I think so, yeah, because, again, I think they're still going to be good enough in what's now looking like an overrated division to be able to win the division. If he wins the division, they're not going to get rid of him. But if they're going to be in a spot where, you know, they're sitting there with a 500 record or so, then I think that they might make a trade. But really, the only trade I think would happen would be with the Denver Broncos.
I don't know. If he has another dog game or something like that, and it's just ugly to watch.
Yeah, what do you think would happen if they lost to Detroit on Monday night, which is unfathomable and unthinkable right now, but you don't think they'd go to Love, do you?
That won't happen. They're not losing to Detroit. Detroit's terrible. Remember, yeah. They were 38-10, and then all of a sudden the 49ers lost all their defensive backs, and they were able to come back and make it 41-33, but they're not losing to Detroit.
Well, there's your survivor pool pick of the week.
Well,
Thank you, John Clayton.
God, I gave somebody Minnesota for a survivor pool last
week. Hey, how about Burrow, John? I know you're down on the Ravens, but we're kind of thinking here that the Bengals might have the best quarterback in the division with how he looked in week one.
No. I mean, he looks good. He's still young. But I think, you know, it's still an overreaction. I mean, let's give him a little bit of time to come back from the injury and give him a little bit of time to see how he does, but it was a great win for them. Really was. I mean, again, he was still the offensive line's still bad. I mean, he was sacked five times. He was hit a whole bunch of times, and that still will come back to haunt them.
John, let's do another week one potential overreaction. I watched. I agree with you right this second. Kansas City, Tampa in a Super Bowl rematch. But if I had to think of, and I'm a big Tom Brady honk, if I had to think of one team that's likely to crash that little party, it's the one that now has Matthew Stafford playing quarterback, because it looked almost funny, some of the throws and plays they were running with him in there versus what they used to try to do with Mr. Checkdown Jared Goff. Like, Jared Goff should have to give half of his huge contract back to Sean McVay after what I just watched Monday night. Sunday night.
Yeah, but we'll still see if they're going to be as good on defense. Because remember, the Bears are a bad football team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they look bad on defense. Matthew Stafford certainly looked good, and that was a great acquisition. But right now, I still think Seattle's the better team in that division.
Do you believe Urban Meyer's USC denial, John Clayton?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you think that it's going swimmingly for him?
He's making almost $10 million a year. He's not getting that from USC.
Fair enough. Do you believe that it's already going as badly down there in Jacksonville as some reports are suggesting it is?
Yeah, I thought it would. I didn't think it was going to go well at all because, again, pure college coaches don't come into the league and win. And, you know, he looks like the most lost college coach coming in.
John Clayton, we talk to him every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.